Thanks, Chero, and pardon me, thank you, Rupert Cassidy. Thank you, Ross, and the choir, and those who sang solos. It's beautiful tonight. Good to be with you all. We're going to look first tonight in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Two very brief readings before us tonight. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A few more pages to the back of the Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. These last two verses will be our reading tonight. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have of God? Listen to this phrase, and you are not your own. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It doesn't really matter where you work, or what school you go to, or what grade you're in school, or what family you belong to. Every part of life brings us certain obligations, and that's what's before me tonight. Obligations are things that whereas we may want to get out of them, and we maybe may wish that we had never been assigned them in the first place, they are there. As life changes, obligations change. But there are very few people alive today who are obligated to no one. And very honestly tonight, I'm speaking to those of the younger generation, maybe as opposed to the children, certainly perhaps even opposed to those of us that are older. My thought is really for the young ones here tonight. We have read two, though we could have read far more than two, places in the New Testament where there are very definite, forceful calls towards obligation in the Christian life. There are a lot of others we could have read. These two are more than enough. 5 points in the moments that remain will be before us. Remember the cost. Realize our call. Reject any hindrances. Remain faithful to the end. And receive the reward. First of all, remember the cost. I don't know what the most expensive thing is that you have ever bought in your life. If you own a home, then you know. Chances are that's the most expensive thing you've ever put money into in your life. For some of you, maybe it's a share on a boat. For others, it's a vehicle that you drive around the island. Whatever it might be, just think of that thing that you own that cost you more than anything else has. I bet you almost to the penny remember how much it cost. You see, certain things are valued because they're costly. And I want you to understand tonight, and I hope you never forget it, that our God values us hugely because of the cost. Cost of redeeming our souls back to God. Now, when you bought whatever that is that was the most expensive thing that you've ever bought, you hope that it will perform. If it's a vehicle, and it's a lemon, well, then eventually you'll do what it takes to make it right, or you'll just have to get rid of it. Work some kind of a deal with the dealer or whatever. But you expect certain return whenever you invest in something that is costly. And it should be no different, should it? For our God, who has given us the best that heaven could give, because of the cost, He expects something in return. And quite frankly, that is our obligation. Think of the demands of a bondservant. I mentioned them the other night. A bondservant was not purchased wholly like a slave was 150 years ago in my country and other countries. But a bondservant, for a period usually of about 7 years, their servitude was purchased. You and I are bondservants if we have accepted Christ as Savior. And our servitude to God begins the moment of salvation, and guess when it will end? Some of you will say the moment you die, or the moment that the Lord comes in the rapture of the church. And to be honest, that wouldn't be entirely right. Our service for God will last forever. We will always serve Him. Always. And so really God gives us a wonderful opportunity in whatever years you and I have of serving Him here to practice for that which will be our eternal occupation. We are bond servants. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that your body is the dwelling place wherein the Holy Spirit of God resides, and that you are not your own?" We live in a world today. In fact, we even live in a church today. And I believe in large measure, and let's be frank and let's be honest with one another tonight, we are all guilty of it to one degree or another. We have forgotten that we are not our own. Corporations teach people every day, you've got to make things happen. You do what it takes to get to this point or that point. You are responsible. You're the captain of your own destiny, they will tell you. If you make it, you'll make it because you made it. If you fail, you will fail because you failed. We'll provide you everything that you need as a framework around you to advance. If you do, it's going to have to come from inside of you. And if you fail, and unfortunately that will reveal a character flaw also inside of you. Simple fact is, the scripture says, no, that's not really true. We're not our own. We've been purchased at a cost. Don't ever lose sight of the cost. The greatest, most expensive purchase in the history of the human race, so far, whatever company it might be, it could run into the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, but it had an actual final price. Eventually, when the dust settled, accountants could tell to the penny exactly what that cost was. Simple fact is, you and I have been bought at a cost that we will never understand. 500 million years, as we now know years from now, we still will not know the full cost that your soul and that mine would be redeemed. And with that, there are obligations. Secondly, we need to realize our call. None of us are here by accident. None of us were born the time we were born, into the family that we were born into, with a personality that we have. None of that happened by accident. We are people with an immense variety of likes and dislikes. There are things that may absolutely float you that I just can't stand, and vice versa. Our tastes would be different, perhaps, in music. In a lot of different things, there are shy people here, like me, and there are people that are very outgoing. There are people here who are crazy, and there are other people who are a lot more serious. We're all different. None of that is an accident. We have all been called to a variety of places and situations in life, every single one of us. And inside the church, we have all been called to do a variety of works too. God has called you to do something in the service of His kingdom, to help to advance it. We are each one of us one tiny little minuscule cog in a massive worldwide wheel, one by one, turn by turn, even though at times it's so slow it appears that it's not even moving. It is. That's our call. Remember what we're called to. There's an active and there's a passive here. We are called to honor, serve, worship, work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another too. We have been called from a lot. And that's why he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to not be, verse 2 says, conformed to this age. Folks, I got to tell you tonight, this is hard. This is really hard. Peer pressure today is enormous. And when whoever is in your age group is doing something or gets something, everybody else wants to do it or get it. It's just that simple. But I have to let you in on a little secret from some of us who are a lot older. It has always been that way. Always. It was that way in my day. It was that way in my father's day. It was that way in my grandfather's day. Peer pressure has always been around. It may be worse now than it has ever been. The pressure to conform to a spirit of an age has always been in the human heart. See, it's easier to go along with the flow. We're human. We take the path of least resistance, generally speaking. Whatever is easier to help us just kind of float through life and not make waves. But may I tell you that societies and the kingdom of God have been advanced by people of character, by people of strength, who even understanding that it may not be popular and there may be an enormous cost to it, they have stood up and they said, excuse me, you may choose to go that route, but not I. Because this is what God says. Realize our call. Thirdly, reject any, may I also say reject any and all hindrances. Now again, if we're honest this evening, you've got to admit, you have them. Please let me tell you, so do I. Every day I have to fight, and often lose, a battle with things that would hinder me from doing what I ought to for the Lord every day. When I was younger, I used to think that it would be fun to get old in this regard. You wouldn't have any more temptations. How naive. How absolutely stupid. Mind you now, some of the things that plagued me when I was a kid, they've kind of passed on. But I can promise you this, for everyone that's lost from my past, probably three or four have been added to the mix. And it doesn't get easier. And the things that you will do to establish a bulkhead right now against the constant, subtle, or vicious attacks of an enemy, the things that you do to establish a bulkhead now will stand you through the storms of life. Reject any hindrances. Reject the world system. Listen, it's under a death sentence. It seems so appealing. You look at TV and you see all the actors and the actresses and the musicians. You see the homes that they live in, 10, 20 million dollar properties. You see the cars that they drive with all of the fancy accoutrements and $20,000 wheels and all of this. You think of the clothes that they wear and the jets that they can fly in, and you think to yourself, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Boy, wouldn't that be fun to be that rich. May I tell you something that, in a sense, I don't envy them, certainly. But I don't feel badly for many of them that they have these kind of things. Because, to be quite honest, that's as close to heaven as many of them will ever see. This is their heaven. This is what they're living for. They're putting all of their energy and their passions into this world system, and all of us have gotten sucked into it way too deeply. We have to reject hindrances. We have to make a conscious choice to do so. Fourthly, remain faithful. You think of all those people in Hebrews chapter 11, those Old Testament saints that did a lot for God. They were just like us in this regard. Not a one of them was perfect. None of them were perfect. All had problems. They had trials and they had failures. They had faith issues to deal with. But when God needed them, they were with Him. Remain faithful. I think of the Apostle Paul and all that he went through. Mind you, he could have been the wealthiest Jew of his day. He had it right on his plate. looking back as a Christian, his own words were that among my peers, there was none as prosperous as I. Came time to count the cost and make a stand. And what did he do? Turned his back on every bit of it, and later could say, all of the things that I thought were assets turned out to be debits. They were not credits in my account. Rather, they were balances that pulled me away from God. And we need to come to that point. And I have to tell you tonight in all simplicity that if your life and if my life will ever count for God, it will only count for God when we come to that major crossroads and say, Lord, when it's all said and done, I have to say, I realize that I am not my own. I am not my own. I've been bought at a price. And I want to glorify God in my life. Because after all, it is yours. Finally receive the reward. This is an amazing thing. See, a servant was rewarded by food, a place to live, shelter for his family. A bond servant was never rewarded beyond that. Oh, every once in a while, perhaps, if they had a really good master, they would say, that's beautiful. You did a good job on that. But their rewards were very small, and history tells us very few and far between. A bond servant never worked for a reward. They worked because they were a servant. They had to. Here's the mystery to me of it all. A cup of cold water, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 25, given in my name, will absolutely be rewarded. The tiniest little things that you do, a simple word of encouragement, making a meal for somebody that's sick or shut in, singing in a choir, putting yourself out on a limb to sing a solo, becoming active in Sunday school, whatever it might be, you might sit back in the dark of night and say, you know, when all is said and done, it's really not that significant. Please don't tell that to God. Because he's taking perfect accounting of it. And one day he will reward us 100-fold. We will receive a reward. Now, what can this earth give you in this world system? They can give you money, things, power, fame, prestige. Best tables in a restaurant. Unlimited whatever you want thrown at you. And how long will it last? Well, since we don't know how long we're going to live, or since we don't know when the Lord is coming exactly, can't really answer that. Except to say that it will only last as long as we live. Maybe a week. Maybe 20 years. Maybe longer than that. But that's earth's rewards. And here are heaven's. Forever. And forever. And forever. So what we really need to do is take our eyes and raise them and lift them up under the hills and recognize indeed again, we are not our own. I'm not my own man. You are not your own person either, because we have been purchased from a pit called hell at an eternally infinite price. And we will never exhaust the cost. May God help you to have a life that counts for him. Father, we're thankful tonight for these truths that so sober us, so deeply challenge us. Help us to recognize again that we honestly are not our own person. There are obligations in the Christian life. They may not be as fun as some other people have, but Father, they're infinitely more important. And we ask that each one of the younger ones, from the youngest to the oldest of us tonight, might recognize afresh, as we have been reminded from the pages of your word, that there are obligations that we will either fulfill and be rewarded for, or we will be careless in them, and we will suffer huge regret at that place of the Bema. So guide us in our decisions and in our attitudes, we pray, as we give thanks and commit ourselves now into thy care, in our Savior's name. Amen.